Somebody lent this book to me. Are you here? Okay, wonderful. I appreciated it. Well, I want other people to be able to read it. It's a great book. It's about a guy that came out of a white nationalist movement and learned a lot about how other people really are rather than what he had learned about them growing up. So I appreciated the read. I wanted to share with you something. This might still be on. I'll just stand out here. A reading from Richard Gilbert, Unitarian Universalist minister. It's called Gentleness in Living. Be gentle with another. It is a cry from the lives of people battered by thoughtless words and brutal deeds. It comes from the lips of those who speak them and the lives of those who do them. Who of us can look inside another and know what is there of hope and hurt or promise and pain? Who can know from what far places each has come or to what far places each may go? Our lives are like fragile eggs. They crack and the substance escapes. Handle with care. Handle with exceedingly tender care, for there are human beings within, human beings as vulnerable as we are, who feel as we feel, who hurt as we hurt. Life is too transient to be cruel with one another. It is too short for thoughtlessness, too brief for hurting. Life is long enough for caring. It is lasting enough for sharing, precious enough for love. Be gentle with one another. And I think that's an important way to start any conversation about belonging, because a sense of belonging is a very human need. It's something that people have sought since we first started making communities with each other. We want to know how to have that sense that we belong, that we fit, that we matter to other people. And sometimes we do all kinds of crazy things to fit in. I remember there was a kids' television show. Maybe you have seen this little segment where they would show a bunch of things and they'd say, one of these things is not like the other. And then you'd try to pick out which thing was not like the other things. I remember as a kid thinking, I do not want to be that other thing. I do not want to be that thing that people pick out and say, that thing is not like the other things. That kid is not like the other kids. That's an outsider. That's a weirdo. That's an oddball. That's something. But it doesn't fit in. He doesn't fit in. Have you ever done anything that you really would not have done otherwise, but you just did it to fit in? Some people have never done that. Did anybody want to share a thing? Just a Twitter-sized thing that you did when... Just not the whole story, but the thing.
Streaking across the highway.
You went streaking across the highway just to fit in. Are you sure that's not something you would ordinarily do? It's not. You just did it to fit in. Anybody else? That's a vulnerable share. Yes. You broke onto private property to use their pool at 1 o'clock in the morning. And did you say you got arrested for it?
We got a slap on the wrist, but still.
You got attention, okay. Got a slap on the wrist, yeah.
Ditto.
Ditto! a timeless way to fit in.
This is not to fit in, it's really to set apart.
Oh, okay.
When I was in high school, I used to paint my fingernails with white out and then color on, do different designs with markers. And so everybody had to see my fingernails because I would change them. I'd spend hours every night.
You wanted to be drawing attention to yourself as different. Yes?
I didn't want to have to talk to you.
That's the problem with talking about belonging with a group of Unitarian Universalists is sometimes... Sometimes we like that feeling of being set apart. In my life, I've enjoyed that feeling of being set apart in some ways too, but usually I come back to needing a place where I feel like I can be myself and fit in and relax after I've been out doing some things that set me apart. It's amazing the kinds of things that we do to fit in. I had this conversation with another group of people, and a woman that was there said, "Well, I married a man. That's what she did to fit in. It was not an authentic thing for her to do, but she felt like she had to do that in order to be acceptable. Built an entire relationship to feel like she belonged in a meaningful way." And some of us might do some really hurtful things, some things that have long-lasting consequences in our lives, to feel like we get that sense of belonging. But it's not really a sense of belonging then, is it? Because we're pretending to be something that we're not. We get a sense that other people accept the mask that we've put on, the label that we've put on ourselves. Maybe we just think everybody likes yams and so we're fine because we've put on that label and we've convinced everybody around us we're just yams. Safe, inoffensive, tasty yams. That's all. Nothing to see here. But on the inside, we're not that. We're something completely different. And we don't let people see that. So how do we get a sense of belonging out of that? Well, I want to suggest that sometimes we don't understand whose responsibility it is to give us a sense of belonging. Sometimes we think it's our responsibility to do that by putting weird labels on ourselves. But then that doesn't wind up helping us have a sense of belonging. We feel more alone sometimes. So our responsibility in that equation, I think, is to show up authentically as we are. We have to let people see us if we want to have a genuine sense of belonging. And that sounds simple, but it actually requires a lot of work on our part. That's the work that we have to do to get that sense of belonging, to overcome our anxiety, to understand who we are, to be able to share with other people the things that we care about, our concerns, the vulnerability that you all are able to have when you light these candles and say, "Here are the things that are on my heart in this moment right now." Sometimes that takes a bit of vulnerability. Sometimes it helps when someone is willing to go up with you and light a candle. But we don't get a sense of belonging unless people are able to see who we are. And sometimes that takes a lot of work to be able to show up and let people see us vulnerably. And sometimes we get rejected. One of the reasons we get rejected, I think, is that sometimes we demand other people accept us when we are showing up to communities that are not really places where we're going to belong anyway. If I show up to the trees for Galveston and I say, "I really care about prison reform. Let's talk about prison reform. Prison reform is really important. I'm passionate about it. We need to be doing prison reform." They are going to say, "That's great, but that is not what we're about." And I might feel like, "Well, I don't belong here then. You haven't welcomed me into your community. You haven't made me feel welcome at all." But the problem is, I'm not letting them be who they are. I'm not letting that organization have well-defined boundaries, and I'm insisting that they accept something that really doesn't have anything to do with who they're about. Now, maybe they would still accept me as a person if I showed up and I said, "What are you all doing and how can I be a part of it?" They wouldn't tell me to take a hike just because of that. It's only when I'm trying to derail their identity that it became a problem. A lot of times. There may be some organizations that have a strong commitment to things that I don't value. There may be some organizations, there are some organizations, that are antithetically opposed to what Unitarian Universalists care about. It's not reasonable to show up to those organizations and demand that you feel a sense of belonging there. We have to do our homework and we have to be reasonable about what we expect from other communities. But belonging is not a one-way street. Belonging is not only our responsibility. We can show up vulnerably in places, but it's also the responsibility of the communities where we are operating, the places where we walk through the door. They have a responsibility too. A Unitarian Universalist church has a responsibility to contribute to people's sense of belonging, especially if we know what it takes for someone to show up vulnerably and say, "I am chickpeas. I don't see a lot of other chickpeas here, but that's who I am. And I really hope you're willing to accept that." Well, then it's the community's responsibility to say, "Come on in. We love that about you. We need more chickpeas. We don't need everybody to be the same in that way. But what we care about are these principles. This is our identity. We care about supporting the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We're going to honor that here. That's part of our identity. If that's not what you're about, you may not find belonging here. What we care about here is creating a sense of justice and equity and compassion in our human relationships. That's who we are. We are defining ourselves by that boundary, by that principle. If that's not something you care about, you may not find a sense of belonging here. But all of these other labels that you might wear that are authentic to you, we love that stuff. Come on in and do these things with us. Build relationship with us in a way that's meaningful. Create a better world that we envision alongside us, because everybody here is different. It's nice to have some like-mindedness, because then we know we're not crazy, because there are some other people who think like we do, and we're like, okay, I make sense, okay. But it's the diversity of opinion and the diversity of ideas and the diversity of experiences that help us learn more about the world around us, that help us accept one another. I keep pointing back there because the principles are on the wall, if you ever are wondering what they are. I have a habit of pointing at them when I'm here. It's easier for us to accept one another and to encourage each other to grow spiritually when we are able to see that people come from all kinds of different perspectives and all kinds of different backgrounds. It's important for us to welcome different kinds of people. But communities sometimes don't. It's the responsibility of the community to recognize when someone comes through the door vulnerably and to treat them with care. They're fragile, just like you. They might show up with a lot of bravado and say, "I'm an atheist and I want to belong here." And it's like, well, okay, you can dial it back a notch, because I know that atheists probably feel like they have to defend themselves in a lot of places in the Bible Belt. You don't have to do that here. It's okay. For instance, just speaking from personal experience, I have had some atheist bravado at different points in my life. But that's another kind of a mask, right? That's a thing that I do to feel safe. And if you're doing your job as a welcoming community, you'll let people have the little mask for a while and coax it off of them. Let them know that they're safe. You're safe here with us. The other important thing I just mentioned, but I'm going to really name it. Communities have to know who they are. You have to know your identity as a community. That's your responsibility as a community. Individuals have to know who they are so they can show up authentically. And communities have to know who they are so that they can welcome people authentically. You're not going to be able to welcome everybody. You might be able to welcome everybody who thinks to come through the door of a Unitarian Universalist church. But there are people out in the world that just would not resonate with what Unitarian Universalists care about. So it's important to name that. You can't be all things to all people. I'm not saying you're trying to do that. But it's important to have that identity that says, here are the boundaries of our community. Here are the things we care about. Here are the things that we devote our time and energy toward. Here are the things that we do collectively to get a little closer to a world community that offers peace and liberty and justice for every person. That's why I love that you guys are doing a survey to take the pulse of your community and saying, what do people here really care about? What is the vision that we have together for where we want to move in the future? Because there are things that you might care about as an individual. You might love gardening as an individual, and that might not be what the whole community likes to do, but you want to do organic gardening, and you want to have a pollinator garden, and you want to do all these things, and you get a few other people involved with you at that. But it's not something the whole community does. And then there are things the whole community cares about and focuses on and works toward together in a powerful way that one person couldn't do by themselves. And to be able to take the pulse of this community and say, what are those things? What do we really care about? How do we want to step forward from where we are right now? That's a powerful way of establishing your identity so that when people walk through the door, they say, oh, this community knows who it is. They're not just going to give me the impression that they're one thing and really be something else. I have been in those communities too, where they say, we are about this thing. But really, we are not about that thing. We are about making ourselves feel comfortable and making ourselves feel... You know, I was going to tell you the story of a lighthouse, but I know that time is a little short. So I'll just remind you of a story you may have heard before about a lighthouse that was there to keep ships safe. And when they started looking at the furniture in that lighthouse, they said, well, this is not a very comfortable place. We need to raise some money so that we get better furniture for this lighthouse. And then they said, well, this is nice furniture. We should all hang out here. And if we're all going to hang out here, we should put a little cafe because the lighthouse is a long distance. So we need to build a little cafe next to the lighthouse. And then we need to get better space for people to hang out because now everybody's at this cafe. There's not a lot of space for the lighthouse. So we build, and we wind up with a country club, and nobody's paying attention to the light, and ships are crashing on the rocks because it's forgotten its identity. If it's going to be a lighthouse, that has to be first and foremost its identity. And in a lot of ways, a Unitarian Universalist church is like a lighthouse. And there are people here with lots of different perspectives and lots of things to offer, but the real purpose of the Unitarian Universalist community is not to make people feel comfortable and to give people a sense that they're okay, whatever they happen to believe. It's nice that we're able to believe lots of different things, but what are we going to do with those beliefs? How are we going to live in the world? Because our principle is not, it's not a period after acceptance of one another. We accept one another as we walk through the door, and we encourage each other to grow spiritually. It's great that you walk through the door with these beliefs and these ideas and these passions. What are you going to do with it? What relationships are you going to build? What difference are you going to make? It doesn't have to be huge. Any little thing we do is going to have enormous ripples. But if we know who we are as a community, and we encourage the people who walk through the door to know who they are and to be vulnerable and authentic, we can create a genuine sense of belonging that we just can't get by slapping on a label and pretending to be something that we're not. It's a mutual responsibility. And we share that together. I was going to skip this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyway. We sang this song, Earth Was Given as a Garden. Here's what I think is unique about Unitarian Universalism. We were singing this song and I thought, oh wow, this is important. There are some faith traditions that say things like, guide your sons and daughters into full maturity. Teach us how to trust each other, how to use our power for good. Teach us how to touch the earth with reverence. And they're asking something from outside of themselves. Make us better people. Make us more peaceful people. Teach us how to be better stewards of this planet. And all of those Unitarian Universalist principles turn those petitions on their head because they say, we teach one another how to have reverence for the earth. We teach one another how to be in better relationship with each other. We teach one another what trust looks like. You can still pray about it. You can still call on God to help you with these things. But one of the most powerful things about Unitarian Universalist community is they don't just trust that to a higher power. We might ask a higher power to help us do these things, but we understand that it's our responsibility to build the kind of world that we want to see, to build the kind of relationships we want to live in. And we do that best together. I'll close with just a couple of words from Kenneth Patton, another UU minister. Our task is to be who we are in every way we can be. Our salvation proceeding in putting ourselves back together after each tumble. We iridesce, shine, radiate. We exclaim and roar. We are. May it be so for you. Amen and blessed be.